May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." What does confessing Christ mean today? And how do we confess Christ these days? There are certain events in one's life or in the life of a community that are considered defining or life-altering. It is that kind of an event that divides the time to before and after. They are what we call threshold experiences or Rubicon moments. Looking back, I could identify certain pivotal moments in my life that were defining and that changed my life. Coming to the U.S. at a very young age alone, leaving the familiar and the known to something strange and unknown was a huge life-altering event for me. Another crucial moment in our life was when I finally answered my deferred call to ministry at the most opportune time in the life of our family. Coming to St. Peter's in Phoenixville, after establishing a life in Massachusetts by having lived there for more than 25 years, was another crucial turning point. At each of these points in life, there was some force that I cannot explain except to say that it must have been the invisible hand of God, the Holy Spirit, gently pulling me forward into God's future for us. In today's gospel, we see Jesus and his disciples were at a turning point. They were at a historic and politically unnerving place called Caesarea Philippi. The significance of this particular site underscored the importance of what was about to take place. There, in the shadow of Caesar's temple and monument, where the Romans celebrated their victory over destroying Jerusalem, Jesus called out his disciples to identify him as to who he was to them. Clearly, this marked the beginning of a set of events that catapulted Jesus and his disciples on a trajectory, a point of no return to the previous way of life. Here, Jesus wanted to make clear distinction between his disciples and followers from the rest of the world in what they thought of Jesus. Jesus asked them a question, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, representing the 12, made the most bold and celebratory confession. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus declared his intention to build his church upon that foundational confession. "I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the powers of death shall not prevail against it." For Jesus and his followers to take on that ultimate mission into the gates of power and authority in Jerusalem and to go through the sufferings that waited for them there needed a rock-solid confession as to who Jesus was. Jesus wanted to make sure that the disciples were ready to take on the demands placed on them in following him. What was ahead of them was neither for the faint-hearted nor for the wishy-washy. Identifying Jesus as a great figure like some of the notables in the history will not cut. Anything less than seeing Jesus as a messianic figure, as a son of the living God, will not be sufficient to make the journey into the cross and beyond. In the Aesop's story of the hunter and the woodman, a hunter was looking for the tracks of a lion. He asked a man felling an oak tree in the forest if he had seen any marks of lion's footsteps or knew where his lair was. "I will," said the man. "At once I will show you the lion himself." The hunter, turning very pale and chattering with his teeth from fear, replied, No, thank you. I did not ask that. It is his track only I am in search, not the lion himself." When we make our confession, aren't we like the hunter in Aesop's story? We profess that we stand for something, but when the full implication of what that means stares at us in our face, we draw back. When we piously stand up facing the altar and say the Nicene Creed or the Lord's Prayer from rote memory Sunday after Sunday, do we realize its implications? Let's take a look at where did Jesus call out his disciples to identify him? That place is very important. That's why it is included in the gospel. Caesarea Philippi. It is not just any place. This was where Caesar's temple and the monument stood. This was where the Roman occupiers celebrated the destruction of Jerusalem. This place was named after both Caesar, Augustus, and Philip the Herod, both of whom tormented and enslaved the Jewish people. This was the modern day Charlottesville, so to speak. Wasn't Jesus who called his disciples to identify him as the Son of God at this very place, being overly political? When Jesus proclaimed that he would build his church on the rock, solid foundation of Peter's confession, wasn't Jesus directly challenging the Roman Empire? And when Jesus said the gates of Hades will not prevail against the church, wasn't Jesus being defiant? However, sadly today, church is like the hunter in the Aesop's fable. Today, the church is often found doing the bids for the empire. How does the church confess Christ today? Are we being authentic about our faith? When faith communities do not resist our political leaders who do not respect the dignity of every human being, how can we be a moral force in our society and in our country? At some point in our lives, we will be called to make a decision, a confession. What about you? What about me? What do I say about who Jesus is to me? Jesus did not want people to know from the disciples who Jesus is. People need to come to that on their own. That's why Jesus told the disciples not to tell anyone. It has to be on their own. Today marks a defining point in Bindu's life. She is officially becoming a Christian today. Unlike many of us, she, as an adult, is making a decision to be baptized into being a Christian. She thought of it long and hard. This is one of the baptismal promises she will make today. I will strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. You know, just over 100 years ago, when Mahatma Gandhi was in South Africa, he considered embracing Christian faith. He went to a whites-only church one Sunday morning, intending to talk to the minister about that idea of him becoming a Christian. When he entered the church, however, the usher refused to give him a seat and told him to go and worship with his own people. Gandhi left the church and never returned. Well, Bindu, St. Peter's Church is not like that church in South Africa over 100 years ago. We are a confessing church. We respect the dignity of every human being. We see Christ in every white, black, yellow, and brown people. We are a confessing church. We renounce evil and call sin a sin. We believe flying the Nazi flag in our country is evil, and we call it sin. We believe what the members of white supremacists and the KKK did in Charlottesville, Virginia was evil and sinful. We believe pardoning Sheriff Arpaio, a man who hunted down and detained undocumented immigrants and was convicted for breaking the law according to our Constitution, was wrong and encouraging evil. We believe discriminating LGBTQ people and preventing transgender people from serving in our army is evil and sinful, and we call it sin a sin. We are a confessing church. Confessing church today means refusing to obey and follow immoral orders. Bindu, today we welcome you to the household of God. You will be asked whether you renounce evil powers and whether you will accept and affirm Jesus Christ. The whole congregation will renew the baptismal covenant as we welcome you into the church. We pray that we will ever be a confessing church by attending church regularly, standing up to evil, witnessing the good news of God in Christ, seeking and serving Christ in all persons, and always striving for justice and peace and respecting the dignity of every human being.